Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour, November 4th, 2021, and many topics to cover tonight. First one, interestingly enough, and I'm not sure how this slid in to the whole narrative of COVID and viruses, etc., and the way your body's immune system works, and this is something that's not my theory, it's just general knowledge, is the way your immune system works is you have sensors, basically, that are traveling through your body, and they're looking for things that are not supposed to be there. So they recognize, and this is something that happens when a baby is born and already has a certain level of this that's transmitted from the mother, and from the genetics, is that it recognizes things that are supposed to be there, and by way of doing that, by way of elimination, they detect things that are not supposed to be there. And so the immune system has the ability basically to say, well, okay, this is something that is not recognized, we got to get rid of it. It is not part of the plan. It is not part of the body system. And so it has mechanisms that come in and isolate whatever that is and move it out, surround it basically, and move it out through, it could go out as sweat, it could go out through your nose as snot, it could go out your eyes in tears, it could go out in solid waste, it could go out in your urine. There's many ways you could vomit it back out, which is when you eat something that's simply your body says, hey, this ain't happening, and boof, you vomit. You have sensors in your stomach, etc., that are telling you that this is not going to work well, and I want to get this out the other way, out the way it came in, rather than let it pass through the entire digestive tract, etc. And so anyway, your body has all of these mechanisms to get rid of stuff that should not be in your body. And it recognizes them because it's not one of the things that should be there. And so anything that's not supposed to be there becomes a target for the immune system or they're called autoimmune systems because they kick in automatically. And so in the idea that you can somehow take a virus, which the human body would recognize and eliminate naturally, and put it through an accelerated program in, say, a level 4 laboratory, and develop a virus that the body would not be able to manage, would not be able to, and the idea that somehow your body learns the flu virus this year, and then it would be able to adapt to a slight change to that next year, is not true. It's simply not true. And this goes back to the Chinese medicine around 1200 AD. And interestingly enough, about the same time that oil was discovered in the Mideast. But this is, I'm sorry, these are unrelated topics. Just happens to be about the same time. Gives you a little bit of another reference point to understand how far back this goes in time. But around 1200 AD, the Chinese records indicate that they recognized that the inferior conjunction of Venus was coincident with the new flu strains, influenza. And the way it would come in, it would affect the pigs first, so they called it the swine flu, then it would transmutate into something that affected the chickens, and then the chickens were more compatible with humans, and then this was like in a farm setting, and then the people would get it, and then it would spread through the human population. So it was called the swine flu, the Russian flu, the Chinese flu, the bird flu. And these are all the basis for the H1N1, and all of the other variations, the COVID, et cetera, is a variation of these. But anyway, the point is that when the inferior conjunction of Venus comes around, what happens, it's in the tail, the comet tail of Venus, which Venus is still a comet, and its tail extends out into the region where Earth passes through. And so what's happening, in fact, in the tail of comets, when the Deep Impact was the mission, it did two things. It actually impacted into the nucleus of a comet. But it, before it did that, it collected material from a comet tail and brought this back to Earth. And what they realized is in the comet tail, there were the nucleotides, the basic building blocks of DNA, were in the comet tail. And so the comet, and this was a very small comet, so in a big comet, it's building up these chemical chains that are naturally occurring. They're carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and some phosphates mixed in sometimes to bond the DNA together, but nitrogen, and these would mix into, basically they would form into naturally forming molecules that were the basis of basically the DNA, which is then generates the code which builds the people like you. Your DNA is a specific code that is relative to you. And so anyway, and that raises an interesting question too, is that even though the parents got a vaccination, or even though the parents got flus and things like that, that does not translate to the youth unless they are breaking the DNA code. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is to break the DNA code so that the whatever they're trying to do with the vaccinations, the DNA-altering vaccinations, that those go also transfer to the children. But the question is, are they changing the DNA code that actually is used to build the new children? So would the children be immune to the vaccine, the effects, the DNA-altering effects of vaccine? And those are some fairly complicated questions, and I don't think there's any answers, and I don't think there's been enough time for anybody even on the dark side of this to understand those questions, or specifically the answers to those questions. But anyway, back to the story. Your immune system recognizes things that should not be there. And it doesn't have to categorize them or learn them, et cetera, or understand them. It's just like that is not part of the body. And so what happens is it calls in the reinforcements. It calls in the autoimmune system, which surrounds these things and then ushers them out of the body. And like I say, it could go out through sweat. That's why sometimes when you're breaking a fever, if you have a virus and you have a fever and you're sweating, that sweating is getting rid. That's one of the methods of getting rid of getting these toxins out of your body. That's one of the methods. Or through urine, through solid waste, through your nose, through the saliva in your mouth. All of these are ways that your body has of getting rid of things that are not wanted. And so the entire point is, they've been trying to pawn off this story that you need to be injected with some kind of virus, and they do this. This is their theory for the flu shot, etc., that your body needs some kind of a warning, and so that your body then will recognize that and get rid of it, and then the next year's flu shot will be based somehow on last year's flu, which doesn't make any sense at all when you understand that the flu variations coming in from the tail of Venus are not duplicated. They are essentially random. They're building up randomly from this material that's in outer space. And of course, modern science does not recognize any of this. The Chinese knew about it. This is in the medical journals, that the effects of, or that the timing of influenza, specifically the swine and the bird flus that we call flu, come in and they're injected into the human population during the inferior conjunction of Venus. And there are other effects, for example, the increase in solar activity during that period of time because the Earth and Venus electrically align and cause accelerated fusion in the solar surface. So look at if you look at and understand my scientific work, this is all explained, and these are going back into the Chinese records, back to the 1200s. This is also in the medical journals. This is published in medical journals. Peer-reviewed medical journals recognize this fact. But you will never hear about this in the mainstream medium or any other news show because they can't explain it. There's no explanation because in standard astronomy, etc., or astrophysics, there's no reason for viruses to be coming into Earth's atmosphere because of the inferior conjunction of Venus. That means that Venus goes between us and the sun. And this happens about every year and a half, I believe, is the timing, 500 and some days. I forget what the cycle is. But the inferior conjunction of Venus, and that is where not all, but it's very consistent that that's when, I've talked about this on my show, because I'll see an inferior conjunction of Venus coming up, and then I'll talk about it as the date, and sure enough, there'll be a wave of viruses, of flu, influenza, that comes in and affects people. And you'll find places, for example, that are relatively dry. And if it rains during the inferior conjunction of Venus in these relatively dry places, a lot more people get the flu than normally would get it in a dry region because you're getting a concentration of this and you're breathing in these vapors. So it's like, it's one of the reasons I give for having my whole house MR5 water filter is because you're breathing in vapors of toxins and it goes directly into your bloodstream. Whereas if you eat or say you drink a glass of toxic water, a lot of those toxins will actually be passed through your digestive system and eliminated through your liver, etc. Your kidneys will filter this out and it gets removed there and it goes out as solid or liquid waste out of your body. But if you're in a shower and you're showering and that warm water has toxins in it, it goes right into your bloodstream. Or if you're breathing in those vapors, it goes right into your bloodstream. And those are accumulative and they are there, they build up over time. And that's what causes illness, is this, you know, of the PFAS chemicals where you have parts per trillion. My water filters take those out. And imagine people building up, even if you have a small amount of this in your water, over time it's building up and building up to the point where it becomes toxic in your body. And so you have to get rid of this as much as possible. But anyway, back to the concept of viruses and Venus, so the whole concept that you need a shot, of antivirus shot of some kind, so your body recognizes this and then becomes immune to the disease, is not consistent with what we know about the immune system. The immune system works because it recognizes anything that does not belong in the body. Now, when I was young, the parents, if somebody would say they'd go visit their cousins or somebody, then they'd come back with the measles or the mumps or other childhood diseases. The parents would get together. They'd bring all the kids over, so they'd play together, and they would all get the measles. I had the measles. I had the chicken pox. I had all of these things that they now give shots for. And so the idea is that you build up a lifetime immunity at that point. And then you can pass that immunity to your kids. That immunity transfers over a little bit for when the babies are very young. So the mother can give that immunity to her offspring. Vaccinations do not do that, and that's why they keep talking about boosters. And the people that are taking the vaccination now for COVID are losing their immune system. This is in the published literature. This is not me making this up on my program. The people who are getting vaccinated or so-called vaccinated, it's not a vaccine, it's an immunological replacement technique. But the people that are getting that, what they're finding out is it's breaking down their immune system. And their immune system, these people are going to start having all kinds of problems, which is a fantastic boon for the pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine companies. They'll give you this first one. They'll give it to you for free because you're going to be back more and more. And everything that comes along, you're going to need a vaccine for because your body immune system has been destroyed by the vaccination. So anyway, that's what's coming down the road, and that's why they want all the kids to get this. They're just approving the vaccine down to age 5. Boy, that's a landmine business, because you have everybody in the world that's got to go to the doctor constantly and pay a lot of money for pharmaceuticals and vaccines and everything else for the rest of your life. Oh my goodness, big business. What? If you had a business where you could guarantee that everybody had to buy your product for the entire rest of their life, and you know, guaranteed business, wow, what a business deal. You would, and all you had to do is give them something free at the beginning. Wow, you'd have companies standing in line to give these people that free thing, because they would be guaranteed massive income in the future. That's just good business. That's good business sense, and that's what's going on. And so look at the people who are going to benefit by this, the people who have big investments, the Bill Gateses of the world, and, you know, people who have big investment in these technologies. Anyway, but the whole point here is that natural immunity is far superior to vaccinations. And your body is designed to do this. Your body is a magically wonderful design machine, because in the universe of things, your body only can have certain things in it. Other things are poison. And you have to get those out of your system. And that's why, for example, say somebody drinks too much alcohol. Well, your system realizes that your system cannot digest this, and so you vomit. You know, somebody that drank too much vomits, and so that's a way of getting rid of something that you know your body recognizes it cannot manage this amount of this pollution in your body, and gets rid of it. So anyway, that's a little bit about how the immune system works, and it's something that, and I'm not sure how it is a very, very subtle disinformation campaign to convince the public that you need this vaccination so your body learns about this virus. Just also a comment that thousands and thousands of people are getting together from various countries, and this is going on all over the world. Thousands of them getting together in various locations, and not only having meetings and discussing things, but having parties where all these people, there's no social distancing, there's no vaccinations, there's no wearing of masks. And all these people return to their homelands, etc., and nobody has a problem at all. And so anyway, it's just one more indicator that there is no such thing as COVID. If there is a virus, it's so minimal that it has no effect. So the, you know, the idea that they're using a false test, and I talked about this in February of 2020. I was talking about this on this show, that the test they're using, the testemic, as they're calling it, the test, the guy who invented the test said, hey, that's not a valid use of the test. Anyway, enough of that. You hear a lot of this on other radio shows, but I don't think you're going to hear the concept that they're pushing this fake story that you need a vaccine so your body recognizes a particular virus. The way your body works is it recognizes anything that's foreign. And the idea also that the flu, for example, which is a form, and virus is a kind of a broad term. The idea that viruses are kind of these well-structured things, and when a flu virus goes out, it's everybody has the same one. It's really, none of these things are true. And so there are so many variations. By the time the flu gets through a flu season, there's probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of variations of that virus. But does your body have to learn every one of them? No, because they are all foreign to your body and your immune system recognizes that. And when the next inferior conjunction of Venus comes around, there will be a brand new structure. But the reason your body will recognize it is because it is not one of the things that it belongs to your body. You know, the cells, the various things that are in your bloodstream, etc. The body recognizes what's supposed to be there, and then therefore, by process of elimination, basically says, okay, this is a new virus or this is something foreign, and we have to get rid of it. So your flu symptoms are basically your body trying to get rid of things that are foreign. That's the flu symptoms. And so you have the flu symptoms while your body is working to get rid of these toxins. And once it's done, then you get better. But your body has become immune to that particular virus. So you're not going to get sick from that particular virus anymore because your body's going to recognize it much sooner. Yeah, but the other thing is, like I say, there's external environmental conditions. For example, it raining in a place when it's during the inferior conjunction of Venus. If it rains in a place, more people will get sick. It's just the way it is. And of course, modern medicine does not recognize this at all. So thus, the ability, and this is part of the dumbing down of people in the accredited school system, which is my next topic, is what does accreditation really mean? When you have a school system and they're teaching out of textbooks, here's the problem. If you homeschool, you think, well, I'm going to homeschool my kids and I'm going to get them away from all the terrible stuff in the schools. Well, you can physically get them away from the school, but accreditation is where they got you cornered. Because the textbooks are written by who? Science, by NASA. The math books are written by people who intentionally remove logic and reasoning from mathematics. You would think that, well, mathematics is mathematics. No. The way they're teaching math and science is a bunch of facts that prevent the human brain from developing logic. This went into use back in 1954. It actually started, and I was lucky enough to be on the before all of that hit, and I had a very good education, so I'm able to reason. I'm able to look at things. I have a good BS meter. When I hear something, I know if it's true or not. You can just smell it a mile away if it's baloney. And so anyway, but the young people today are being taught a bunch of unrelated facts. Reasoning and logic have been removed from everything, and they're being taught atheist, communist agenda in science, that they're just, for example, evolution and that they're just a little bit smarter monkey than the ones still out there in the jungle, and that all of the universe just came from a big bang. It just like appeared one day, boom, and all of this, okay, a couple billion years later, you have people walking around. What could be wrong with that? I mean, it's so far from any reality. There's nobody that could prove this. There's nobody that was there during the Big Bang that said, okay, no, it's all speculation. It's all based on interpretation of data from astronomers who have a little clubhouse and get paid if they all keep saying the same thing. That's all it amounts to. There's no proof of the Big Bang, none. And the proof that they use is faulty. The idea that the redshift, the expanding universe, everything is redshifted, those redshifts are due to stellar properties, the induced electric dipole redshift. You can read about that in my books. I introduced that in my very first book, Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes, and that is basically a summary for the public dealing with my very early work, where that was one of the key cornerstone discoveries that I made, the induced electric dipole redshift, which is laboratory verifiable, which shows that the stars and the quasars are emitting a redshift because of the non-uniform electric fields that surround the stars, just like our own. And then the second thing they depend on is the microwave background radiation. And the reason that that is bogus is what they're really seeing is something we see. We see rings around other stars. It's like a shell, basically, not so much a ring, but a shell surrounding other stars with the microwave signature. So what people are doing when they send out a satellite, the COBE satellite or whatever, and they look out in all directions and see a microwave background radiation, it's not from the Big Bang. It's from a cloud of dust and gas that surrounds our solar system that are emitting in the microwave range, electromagnetic spectrum microwaves. That's all it is. There is no Big Bang, and there's no proof for a Big Bang. The gravitational lensing is because of the non-uniform electric field. It's the same, the induced electric dipole redshift. It's the photons being pulled towards the central star in an electric field, a non-uniform electric field that surrounds the star, and that's what's causing gravitational lensing. So none of the basis for the Big Bang is accurate. It's legitimate. But they're dependent on that ace card because that's the beginning of evolution. With that, there's no need for divine creation. There's no need for an overall plan for the universe. It just all happened at random. And I have whole lectures, many lectures that deal with this topic. My DVDs deal with it. My DVD number 4, which is a downloadable DVD, deals with this. But there's absolutely no physical basis for something called the Big Bang. Nor is there any physical basis to believe that man evolved from monkeys. Absolutely none. It's just absolutely absurd. But that's the atheist, communist propaganda education, and that is forced. This is my point this week. This is forced in the accreditation of schools. So whether you're in a grade school, kindergarten, high school, or a college, university, whatever, the impetus is to force people to believe that evolution is the cause of everything you see, whether it's physical or biological, etc. And okay, now I have lectures on this. It's in my paid casts, but I am going to divert a little bit here my attention to this topic of what one might call creationism. Now, I'll start by telling you that in any good disinformation plan or strategy, the disinformation crew creates the story that they want you to believe, and then they create the opposing story, and they typically create the opposing story to be wacko, crazy, etc. and they define the opposition, then they come in, and then they're the people that they have giving you their correct story look really good. And so this has been done between evolution and creationism. Now, part of the fault here is the, you might say, the religions of the world, which one would expect to have the answers when it comes to creation and things like that. Oddly enough, a couple years ago, the Pope, the leader of the Christian world, of the Catholic, who, of course, lay claim to being the one true church, etc., you know, and, you know, these are all belief systems, that's fine. But what he wanted to do was to make a bridge between modern science, which is evolution, and the church and church teachings. Well, basically, how there's really no compromise. Either there's a designer of the universe and a grand design, or there isn't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. There's no kind of being pregnant. There's no mister in between. And so the same thing is true of this story of where did the universe come from? Where did we come from, etc.? Do we have a soul? Do we have a spirit that goes along with our body? And how is that spirit adjusted, etc., in terms and introduced? If you have a purely evolutionary system, then there's no need for a spirit, a human spirit, or anything else. You're just a walking computer and an automaton, etc., and completely predictable by basic physics and chemistry. So anyway, the whole issue here is a very weak response from the people should be raising a response, and then also the idea that creationism just depends on a magical day in the Bible when everything was created and a literal interpretation of the Bible. And anybody that has studied the Bible knows that it is filled with analogies, with stories that are in a sense philosophical. You know, did man, was man created on the nth day of the series of creation, you know, and did this come out of nothing? And let me give you a good example. Here's a great example. The Big Bang people always have to put a date on the beginning of the universe. And the creationists do the same thing. And if you really study this, there's no reason for man to believe in his finite ability to view things. In neither case can we put a date on when things began. And, of course, they put a date on the Big Bang by looking out farther. They build a bigger telescope. They find a larger redshift, which they interpret as being a distance. They use a formula called the Hubble constant, and the associated little formula that goes with it to determine how far back in time that was together with everything else in the universe, and that's the alleged date of the Big Bang. Very, very primitive physics. There's massive amounts of published papers, peer-reviewed papers, but the concept is ridiculously simple and actually pretty ridiculous. When you understand that the redshifts have nothing to do with how far away things are in the universe. It's an internal property of the stars and their fusion-based systems and the non-uniform electric fields that surround those objects that are caused by the fusion, the differentiation of charge, etc., and that's in my books. But just looking at time and understanding the limited scope of our imagination, if you go back as far into time as you can, and this is also has to do with the infinity of numbers, something that I've dealt with in mathematics, my work on prime numbers. Let me just give you another good example here, dealing with prime numbers. Every now and then you see published in a newspaper or magazine or scientific popular magazine that somebody has calculated the next biggest prime number, and it has so many powers of 10, so many digits, and everybody goes, wow, that's really huge. But when you look at that number and you compare it to other things, for example, the number of grains of sand on a beach, it's not a big number. And so any number that you can define compared to infinity is by definition small. Okay? But people are amazed at, like, oh my goodness, the computers have calculated this amazing big prime number. But the way they do that is they make some intelligent guesses at which numbers might be prime, and they go out and they search with computer algorithms on supercomputers, and they spend days and weeks and months and now years calculating to see if that number is prime by brute force, by dividing by all the prime numbers up to that number, etc., up to the square root of that number. And then they say, oh, this number is prime. And then it's a big deal. But this is like the 15 minutes of fame, because as soon as they're done calculating that number and displaying it, well, then the hunt is on for the next one, which is, you know, 10 or 100 or 1,000 or a million times bigger. But even there, it's a fruitless effort, because the even those numbers, and no matter how many calculations you make, no matter how far out you get on the number line and find a new prime number, it's going to be small compared to infinity. And that's why when I did my prime number work, I said it has to be a process. It has to be a mathematical process that tells you all the numbers between zero and infinity, and not just pick some number out at random and oops, by brute force computer calculations, it gives you an infinity. It gives you a, like, some big number that you can call prime. Prime number being only divisible by itself, and one is the definition of the standard definition of prime numbers. And of course, I refined and redefined the definition of prime numbers if you look at my prime number work. Okay, well, so that's not the problem here. That's not the point of my conversation. But in introducing that book, I used a story, and I think I talked about this last week on my show, about Prometheus. Prometheus was one of the Greek gods, and when he died, he went down to the gates of Hades. And he said, the curator of the Hades, he said, Prometheus said, look, just give me one more day. I got to go back. I got some unfinished business to do, but I'll come right back and then spend my eternity in Hades. And so the caretaker, the keeper of Hades, says, okay, I believe you. You're a king, honest person, etc. So go back, take care of your business, and come back. So Prometheus goes back, he becomes alive again. He takes his wife and he goes into hiding. And so when he finally dies again and he goes down to Hades, needless to say, the curator of Hades is not very happy with this guy. So he says, okay, you want to be human. You like being human so much. I'm going to give you a task. You're going to be human forever, but you're going to roll this big rock, this big boulder up the side of this mountain. And at the end of the day, that boulder is going to roll back down, and you're going to then the next day push it up the hill again, and it's going to roll down the next that evening and next day, and you're going to have to do this forever. And so anyway, the entire point is this is exactly what mathematicians are doing with calculating bigger and bigger prime numbers using supercomputers, because as soon as they get one, then the clock starts all over again, and they have to do this calculation process, which is going to take even longer to find the next prime number. But even that number is not, it might be a number. And plus, they have not calculated all the prime numbers. There's zillions of prime numbers that lie between the known prime numbers and that new prime number. They have not gained any knowledge or any benefit of understanding of the prime numbers. They've just simply calculated a next bigger prime number. And the reason I'm telling you this story is, let's go back to this idea of creation. When did creation happen? In our limited physical human mind, in our ability to imagine, we can't imagine more than a certain quantity. Go back 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, million years, a billion years, 13 billion years. And that's where astronomers end. And they go, whew, 13 billion years. We're going to send that number out to the public. It's a big number. Everybody will be impressed. And then we have the beginning of the universe. And the creationists don't really answer the question properly. And the real answer to the question is, we don't know. Because we're human. Because we have finite mental capabilities. We cannot understand infinity. We cannot understand the infinity of spatial infinity. We can't understand the infinity of time. We can't understand the infinity of a designer who can design this entire universe, and the carbon atoms on the far side of the universe are the same as ours, and there may not even be a far side of the universe, because every time we build a bigger telescope, we get to see farther, and then we build another bigger telescope, and we even see farther again. It's like calculating the next prime number. You're just waiting for the next big telescope to come along and go, oh, the universe is really much bigger than we thought before. Now it's 15 billion years old. I mean, where does it end? And the answer is, no matter how many bigger telescopes you're going to build, you're always going to find more matter out there. At least that's the point we're at now. Nobody has ever built a bigger telescope and finally got to the point and said, you know, we're looking farther, but there's nothing out there. That's where the edge of the universe is. Nobody's ever done that. No matter how big a telescope, no matter how better a telescope they've built, they always find more. And so the reason is, so they always want to get this Big Bang date, you know, for the origin of the universe, because they have to keep this story that there's no design, it just happened, this thing exploded, all the protons came out, all the galaxies came out, and then there's these humans walking around planet Earth. What could be wrong with that story? And who could defy it? Who could bring up evidence and say, no, it's not true? It's not a provable story. It's not provable. You can look at data and interpret it a certain way. That's okay, big deal. But other people can look at the same data and interpret it a completely different way. So it's a clubhouse is what's going on. And these people make their living off of it. But the whole point here is that communist atheist education is the basis of mathematics and science today. And so the very first thing your kids learn when they go into kindergarten, somewhere kindergarten, first grade, they're going to see a picture of monkeys walking. It's a picture, you've all seen it. And then the next baboon is a little upright. Then you have apes that are more upright. Then you have humans walking along. And the implication is, hey, you're just a little bit more advanced monkey than the one back there in the jungle. And that's what Carl Sagan taught. That's what his protege of Neil deGrasse Tyson taught, the same thing in the Cosmos series. And this is the basis of evolutionary biology, of geology, of astronomy, of everything that you teach. And if you teach about, say, social science or anything else, about, say, you talk about the history of religion, it goes back to the very same thing. That, hey, man is just an animal. What's the implication? You don't have a spirit. You don't have a mind of your own. You're just this animal responding to, reacting to your environment, etc. That's the implication. So that's what kids are being taught. And it's very subtle, and parents don't understand this. But getting back to accreditation, you got to read all of these textbooks, and your kids got to get an A responding that this is correct knowledge to get your accredited degree in grade school, high school, university, whatever, to get an accredited degree. And why would you get a degree and do all of that work if it's not accredited? Because your paper isn't going to be worth anything when you go to get a job. Are you going to go say, well, I went to college for 4 years and I studied Mr. McCanny's work, but it's not accredited because it doesn't comply with NASA, it doesn't comply with the Big Bang Theory, etc. So it's not accredited. And they go, well, you know, you spent all your time doing that, but you didn't get an accredited degree. And so to get an accredited degree is my point. To get an accredited degree, you have to study and then regurgitate this, pass the tests, same claiming that there was a big bang, that you're a monkey, that you're just a little more advanced monkey. Evolution is correct. And then if you say that and you repeat it enough times in the classroom, you'll get your degree and now you can get a job. Isn't that special? Okay, so anyway, I hope you understand where this is going, because this is what education is all about, is creating this image that, you know, it's the atheist communist agenda. And now you are able to be manipulated. You know, somebody could tell you, and this is going on all the time now, when people make statements that simply could not possibly be true, but you have to repeat it to get a job. You have to get your COVID shot, you know, even though there's no evidence that it even works. There's no evidence that there's even anything called COVID, because all of the laboratories and universities that claimed there was cannot produce it. So you're all of these people running around making all these claims with no basis at all. But what do? They get a job. They're in the supermarket. They got to make everybody wear a mask when they walk into the supermarket, even though the mask is not going to do anything. It's not going to prevent disease from spreading. Social distancing, none of that is going to help anything. And that's well documented. Any medical doctor will tell you that a mask is not going to prevent you from giving or getting a disease. Surgeons wear it so they don't drool in the patient when they're doing surgery. That's why a surgeon wears it. It's not like they're going to prevent contracting some kind of disease that the patient has, etc. Anyway, you know, that's another issue. But the whole principle here is that if you educate people and they will repeat anything you tell them without thinking, you have just regimented the public. And that's what accredited education is all about. Okay, so I wanted to divert into that topic a little bit because it's very important. And so once again, to understand the idea, the real idea of creationism is understanding that the Bible is a book that one has to interpret, and the understanding that there is a divine creator. If you look at all the indigenous peoples of the world, they all believed in a divine entity, and they looked up to that entity because they knew it was more powerful than them, that they didn't understand how this world worked. They tried to live in coordination with the world, something that modern man does not do at all. And they had a spiritual, they believed that when their relatives and their loved ones died, that they still had a spirit, that spirit was along with them and looking basically over them as they went through their life, trying to, you know, that they were coordinated with the spirits of their ancestors, etc. Something that, are kids taught that today? No. Do kids think about their grandparents being there watching over them? The grandparents who are dead or the great-grandparents looking over them because they're their children or their grandchildren or great-grandchildren? You know, no. Kids are not taught that today at all. So they're not taught to be connected with the spiritual world at all. I want to change topics here. But this, by the way, is a continuation of my discussion of electric highways to the stars. And the reason it is, just one last point here, is that when they give you a COVID shot and when they include in that the magnetic graphene oxide, the whole point of that is to have that graphene oxide accumulate in parts of your brain that dumb down certain functions of your brain, of your physical brain, and take away the connection you have with your spiritual world. And that's literally what that is all about. And so they're trying desperately in the schools, in churches, a lot of the churches don't teach real spiritual concepts. That a lot of them are just teaching. I call them prayer repeaters. They go to church, they repeat a bunch of prayers, they walk out, and they're really okay. Well, I guess I'm a Christian. I'm a Muslim. Went to the mosque today or whatever, and somehow think that they have complied with their religious requirements. And a lot of people are not Christian at all, who claim to be Christian, go to church, because they don't know. They've never been taught. They don't understand about their spiritual world at all. And so anyway, part of the whole issue, if you read my book, The Diamond Principle, I talk about the dilemma of man, that man has some serious problems that he has to overcome, not physical problems. I'm not talking about building rockets or spaceships or you know, curing radiation problems in space. I'm talking about man's mental, spiritual condition that needs to be in place before stepping out into the great beyond. It's not like going out and settling the Old West. Going out into three dimensions and going out into the universe, here's the thing, and I relay this in some of my books. Every chapter in my books, I think just about all the books, it has a chapter called Will Man Survive? And the whole question is, given man's focus and attention on money and personal pleasures and your daily life, etc., given man's focus on that today, is man really going to succeed? Are we going to get into space and conquer space as a species before something big comes along in space and wipes out this planet? And I always come to the conclusion that no, everybody's interested in the latest election or in the, you know, the stock market or their, you know, savings in their bank or their retirement or the newest car they bought or the, you know, whatever it is. And the real main thing, the top number one priority of the human species should be preservation of the species. And it seems like we're doing everything to destroy it. And certainly the space agency, our illustrious space agency, NASA, to get somebody to Mars in the next 20 years or something is hardly an effort to populate the stars. It's being put there to prevent you from populating the stars, prevent you from realizing your birthright to the stars. And that's the entire point of the Diamond Principle, etc. And then also, like I say, my lecture, and this is a series of ongoing lectures, Electric Highways to the Stars. So all of these topics I'm talking about personally, personal items dealing with people and their spiritual life and the ethereal concepts that go along with being a human being, all of these things are very necessary, but everybody's walking around in a fog, not having a clue where they are going or where the human species are going. And, you know, so anyway, that's why I'm including this. Okay, so to jump on to a little bit different topic here, this is a story that for some reason is coming out a lot in the news these days. And I'm not quite sure why, because when you see this blanket coverage, somebody somewhere is pushing this concept that you should have big reflectors up in outer space and that they would collect sunlight and then beam this down with microwaves down to planet Earth as a solution to our energy problem. Now, imagine this, how stupid this is. The goal is to take, now look at the way we're producing energy today, say with coal and natural gas and oil. You take those, you refine them into a condition, and then you burn them, and about maybe 25% of that energy is used to actually generate usable electricity or power cars, etc., and the other 75% of that heat goes right into the atmosphere with a tremendous amount of heating, and nobody talks about that. They only talk about this ridiculous greenhouse effect, which is something that 20 years down the line, nobody talks about all the heat that goes directly into the atmosphere right now. Okay, so then they're saying, okay, well, nuclear power is the solution. Well, nuclear is the most polluting source of energy on the planet. the method of getting the radioactive material is horrendously polluting. But now they want to take big mirrors, put them up in space, collect solar energy, and then beam that energy down to Earth. Now, the issue that you're taking fossil fuels, which is a misnomer, you're taking coal or oil or natural gas and burning them, you're taking inert materials that normally would not produce heat of their own. You're burning them, and that combusted material, then that extra heat goes into the atmosphere. But how does taking solar energy from outside near the Earth and beaming it down to Earth, how does that solve the problem? Okay, so in other words, you're taking this huge amount of excess energy from outside of the Earth, putting it into the Earth's environment, and only about 25% of that will be actually converted into electricity, and then the rest of it being expelled in as heat into the atmosphere. How is that any different? I mean, it's absolutely absurd. So these people, these scientists out there, are just stupid. That's all I can tell you. Ridiculously stupid. And anyway, that's a topic that really I'll cover again in some future shows in more detail to give you a better understanding of what I'm talking about. But okay, very soon I should have the t-shirts and hoodies and all of those up on my webpage, jmccsci.com. And I have a new logo. The J. McCanney Science has a new logo. It's fantastic. Spent a lot of time with design artists, etc., working on this. So it's beautiful, and that'll come out, and you can buy that on the front of your hoodie or t-shirt, etc., or cap or cup. There should be all these products that you can buy, hopefully and certainly before Christmas time. And then also the JMCC water filters page, the MR5 pricing, we are planning an increase in pricing after the first of the year. And that increase is because of the demand for these is going up. And it's a matter of having money to put into future growth and production, etc. But the demand is there. So right now you can get a 10% discount on the current pricing, and they're also discounted in price. So you get not only the discount that's on the webpage, but also another 10% when you use the coupon code JMCC at checkout. And so the webpage, once again, jmccwaterfilters.com, and the MR5 whole house water filter, as I say, you can get another 10% off by using the coupon code JMCC. In fact, if you buy anything on the page, use that coupon code for a 10% discount. And I'm out of time. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.